good to see everybody here today. Hope you've had a good week thus far. There's not a better way that I can think of than start it off in worship, and especially with those that that we have such a friendship with and such love for. I messed up on one of the announcements today. I didn't put it in there right. Caleb, I didn't want to get y'all's hopes up. This is not his final chemo. This is his third to last chemo. He's got two more intravenous chemotherapies, and he's got one final spinal chemo after that. And so he's still got just a little over 2 months left, but so far so good, and we have been just rejoicing all the way. And please continue to keep him in your prayers, that that goes well, that his white blood counts where it needs to be this week so that he can get that taken care of and that he'll do very well through it. We have a number that are visiting today. We're delighted to have y'all here. We have a number who are here all the time that live here in town, and we're delighted to have y'all here. Hope that you'll stay with us for the fellowship afterward and enjoy that. We always have wonderful food and great fellowship, and appreciate everybody who works so hard to put that together. I also wanted to explain maybe a little bit about the teen weekend that's coming up. We haven't taken a chance to discuss that yet, but each year the Church of Christ that's situated on Milwaukee Street in Lubbock has a teen youth conference, and it's a little different than most youth rallies. Sometimes the youth rallies get to the point where you're not really sure, you're not always confident about sending the kids to them, but this one is a little bit different than that. They have excellent speakers. They really do go to a lot of trouble to make sure that they are doing it right and scripturally, and then they all go to different houses and have a really good time after that. And so I think that we have a place to stay for all of the for all of the young people that would like to go. I think that the men are going to be staying with AJ and Miranda, and the ladies will be splitting up between Jessica's house and Charisse's house. I think most will be staying with Charisse. So if you can go to that, it'll start this Friday, and just contact Carolyn and she can get you more information on that. If you have your Bibles and would like to turn over, we're going to start in Hosea chapter 10 this morning. I want to talk about a topic that we really need to think, I believe, deeply about, because I think too many people lose out on the joy that God wants them to have. And I also think that far too many people lose out on the salvation that God wants them to have, because they are either so caught up with a preconceived notion of what God has to say about salvation, about what he has to say about worship, or what he has to say about our everyday lives, that we just kind of go along with what we have heard, what the preacher says on Sunday, or what mom and dad have said through the years. And it's not hopefully it's not that these people are not trustworthy, but if you've been relying on other people for your information on these important areas, especially when we talk about salvation and the way you're to live, the way you're to worship, then let me just say this, it's time to do something different. It is time to seek God in the way that God wants us to seek him. It may be that you've been struggling with a particular type of sin or several types of sin, and you've been trying to just deal with it in your own way, and you think that you've got it under control, or maybe you don't even think about it. Maybe you just choose not to think about it. If that's been the case, and you've just been trying to take care of sin in your own way, then it is time for you to take care of it in God's way. And the only way that you and I can do that is to go to God's Word and find out what he has to say about that. One of the reasons that we have spent so much time in this last year and have been trying to encourage other congregations to do the same thing with this 30-day challenge is because there seems to have been kind of a meandering away from the truth, from the Word of God, when it comes to the church. People have stopped reading the Word of God. And so it has not only been a cessation of reading of the Word of God, but maybe even more critical, I believe more critical, as people have stopped studying the Word of God. Or maybe they never started studying in the first place. They read the Word, They check off on their daily Bible reading. Yes, I've read that, but they're not studying it. They're not finding out for themselves what God has to say about the important truths that He has for us. And so if you're in that situation, then it is time to get back to God. And the way to do that is to get back to His Word. Hosea chapter 10 and verse 12. The prophet Hosea, through inspiration, says this: "Sow for yourselves righteousness, reap the fruit of unfailing love, and break up your unplowed ground, for it is time to seek the Lord until He comes and showers righteousness on you." It's time to seek the Lord. That idea of breaking up unplowed ground gives us the understanding that there are things in our life that are undone. There are opportunities, perhaps, that we haven't taken. Maybe we're doing pretty good with our personal situation as far as we're Christians. We're doing our best to walk in the light. But maybe there are others that we have an opportunity with. As a matter of fact, maybe there are others whom, for whatever reason, we are their best hope of coming in contact with the truth, that we haven't broached the subject yet. If you have people like that in your life, then it's time to break up your unplowed ground. Any farmer knows this. If you have unplowed ground, and it's not for a reason. There are reasons at times to let the ground go fallow for a while and to restore the soil. But if there's not a reason for it, then you're losing money. You're being unproductive. You're not using it at its highest and best use. From God's perspective, He wants us to be operating at our highest and best use. And if we're not, it's time to do something about it. God says it's time to seek the Lord. In verse 13, He talks to people who have not. And He says this: "You've planted wickedness. You've reaped evil. You've eaten the fruit of deception." We've all been in that situation, I think, at one time or another, where we have been involved with sin. And yet we have fooled ourselves into thinking either that we can handle it or that it's not sin. One of the most popular topics, I suppose, on any given Sunday is the idea that sin is not really sin. And the reason that people are able to teach that and preach that is twofold. One, that's what people want to hear. But two, people aren't studying for themselves to know better. And they've deceived themselves. Have you ever been in a situation where you've been doing something you shouldn't do? You have planted wickedness and you've reaped evil? You thought you were going to get good. You thought you were going to have pleasure from the evil. And you deceived yourself. And that's what He's talking about. You have planted wickedness, you've reaped evil, and you've eaten the fruit of deception. And He precedes that with the comment, it's time to seek the Lord. And so if you find yourself in any of those situations, then it's time. In Haggai, if you have your Bibles, I'd really encourage you to turn over to Haggai. Haggai is just 2 pages long. But if you're not familiar with where it's at, turn to the first of Matthew and turn back about half a dozen to a dozen pages, depending on how big your print is, and you're going to run smack dab into the book of Haggai. Haggai is written after the fall of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, at the capital of Judah, had fallen some 70 years earlier. At least the captivities had started some 70 years earlier. And the temple was destroyed. It was taken down to the ground. But now God is bringing His people back out of Babylon, and He's bringing them to Jerusalem, and He expects them to be rebuilding the temple. But they're not getting to that work yet. They're caught up with their own things. And so God has the prophet Haggai bring him this message. And starting in verse 1 of Haggai chapter 1, "In the second year of King Darius, on the first day of the sixth month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. This is what the Lord Almighty says: These people say, 'The time has not yet come for the Lord's house to be built.' Then the word of the Lord came to the prophet Haggai, "Is it time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses while this house remains a ruin?" What was going on? They'd come back to Jerusalem and they were supposed to be rebuilding the temple that had been destroyed. But instead of doing that, they were taking care of their own houses. As a matter of fact, their houses were getting so nice, they were living in paneled houses. And they were saying to God, they were fooling themselves, they were saying, "It's not quite time." Have you ever done that? You're going along in life and your attitude is something along these lines. "I know that I need to be at the worship, but I've got this to take care of first. I've got this big thing in my life to take care of first. But as soon as I get this thing taken care of, for sure, at that point, I'm going to get back to the worship." Or maybe it's something along the lines of this: "I know I'm not a Christian yet, and I'm going to be a Christian, but I've got some things I have to take care of first. I have some things that I need to work out. I just don't feel like I'm good enough yet to be a Christian. But for sure, when I get these things taken care of, when I get all my ducks in a row, then I'm going to become a Christian." Or maybe you are a Christian and you have not been faithful and you're thinking to yourself, "I know I need to get back and I'm going to come back, but I've got these things to take care of, and I can't help it." Have you ever seen anybody like that? As a matter of fact, sometimes we'll say we can't help it, and we'll even blame God. We'll say, "Well, if I didn't have this going on in my life, I'd get more serious about Christ. I'd get more serious about my Christianity, but I've got this going. Now, if God wanted to take care of that for me, He could do that, but since He's not, then I just have to take care of this, and as soon as I'm through with this, then for sure I'm going to get serious about my service to God." You remember how well that worked for Adam and Eve when they tried to bring God in on the reason that they didn't do what they were supposed to do? God asked Adam, why did you eat of the fruit? And Adam said, it was the woman you gave me. And God said to Eve, why did you eat of the fruit? And she said, the serpent deceived me. And yet they both were punished for that because they were just excuses. Did these things actually happen? Yes. Were they very real things? Yes, they were very real things. But I want to say this. If you're waiting for the perfect time in your life to come to God or to come back to God, it's never going to happen. And I'm going to tell you why it's never going to happen, to the best of my observation, from what I have learned. I believe the reason that the perfect time will never happen for you to come back to God is this: because God has designed this world not to have perfect times to come back to Him. He has designed the test in life to be such that your service is a sacrifice. He has designed the worship to be inconvenient. He has designed your everyday service to Him, that's your worship on an everyday basis, to be inconvenient. He wants it to be inconvenient because He does not want people who are just fair weather friends, who will just come to Him for things, for health, for wealth, for whatever it is. If you're waiting for a good time to serve God, if you're waiting for a more convenient time, it's not going to come because God didn't design life that way. And so if you've been waiting for that, let me encourage you today with this entreaty that Hosea gave. It is time to seek the Lord. The time's now, isn't it? He goes on to say this. After the people say the time has not come yet for the Lord's house to be built in verse 2, and God points that out, that they're living in paneled houses. In verse 5, He says this, and note this, because five times in the book of Haggai, He says, give careful thought. Now this is what the Lord Almighty says, verse 5. Give careful thought to your ways. You've planted much, but have harvested little. You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but you never have your fill. You put on clothes, but are not warm. You earn wages, only to put them in a purse with holes in it. Does that sound familiar? Let me tell you how long I've been trying to pay back my bills. you earn wages, but you only put them in a purse with holes in it. See, that's life. But look at this in verse 7. He's going to tell us something about them. This is what the Lord Almighty says, and now for a second time, give careful thought to your ways. Go up into the mountains and bring down the timber and build the house. He's talking about the temple now, so that I may take pleasure in it and be honored. You expected much, says the Lord, but see, it turned out to be little. What you brought home, I blew away. Why, declares the Lord Almighty? Because of my house, which remains in a ruin, while each of you is busy with his own house. Therefore, because of you, the heavens have withheld their dew and the earth its crops. I called for drought, God says, on the fields and the mountains and on the grain, the new wine and the oil and all the ground produces, on men and cattle and on the labor of your hands. Now, people at this point may be able to say, see, right there, it's not fair. God called for the drought on all these things. But the reason that God calls for the drought in our lives when they come, and they're for sure going to come, is to get our attention. And he also calls on these things when we're not doing what's right, because there is a principle that he wants to get through to us very clearly. If we want God's blessings, we have to do God's service. And it's not that that service will ever be enough, or that somehow once we've done that service that we deserve God's blessings. We know that that simply is not the case. But if you want God's blessings, you have to do God's service. In verse 12, Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the whole remnant of the people obeyed the voice of the Lord, their God, and the message of the prophet Haggai, because the Lord, their God, had sent him. And the people feared the Lord. Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, gave this message of the Lord to the people, I am with you, says the Lord. You see the sequence? They obeyed God because they feared God. And because of that, God was with them. And now everything is going to change. In verse 14, so the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of the whole remnant of the people. They came and began to work. What an incredible moment in history that is right there. They came and they began to work. You know what makes a good team? It's when people come and begin to work. You know what makes a good student? It's when that student comes and begins to work. Your boss knows what makes a good employee. It's when you come and begin to work. You bosses know what makes an employee. It's when your workers come and begin to work. And God is no different, except for these are matters of eternity. And when they came and began to work on the house of the Lord Almighty their God, on the 24th day of the sixth month in the sixth year of Darius, we see something happen. If you'll now skip to Haggai chapter 2 and verse 15. And for the third time, God says this, now give careful thought to this. From this day on, consider how things were before one stone was laid upon another in the Lord's temple. When anyone came to a heap of 20 measures, there was only 10. When anyone went to a wine vat to draw 50 measures, there were only 20. I struck all the works of your hands with blight, mildew, and hail, yet you did not return to me, declares the Lord. This is why we say that so many people live a subpar life. When you live a life for yourself, you can count on maybe about 40 or 50% return for what you need to be getting. That's what he said here. You expected 20 measures, you only had 10. You expected 50 measures, you only had 20. Why? Because God cursed the yield of their field. And God did it on purpose. Because he does not reward those who do not serve. If you want to know why it's time to begin to serve, part of the reason is because you're not going to be rewarded unless you do. But the main reason is this. The only people who will serve God in His way are the people who love God. I realize there will always be those who will do it just so that they can be rewarded and there's not a lot of love there. and their attitude and their motives are inappropriate, and I'm not talking about that. But when we start to serve the Lord, when we realize it's time to take care of God's things first, things change. And this is what he says in verse 18. From this day on, the 24th day of the ninth month, the very day they began to work, give careful thought to the day. Fourth time now, he says, give careful thought. Give careful thought to the day that when the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, give careful thought. Now he said it five times. Is there any seed left in the barn? Until now, the vine and the fig tree, the pomegranate and the olive tree have not borne fruit. But look at this. From this day on, I will bless you. It's an incredible thing. When you and I stop serving God based upon the convenience of our schedule, the convenience of our pocketbooks, the convenience of our lifestyles, and we start serving God based on our love for Him, and we start going to His Word, trying to dig into it to find the treasures that He has there for us, and we start finding out what He says about salvation, what He says about the way you're to live and to worship, that's when things change. And that's why he says, give careful thought. Because on the very day they began to work, God said, from this day on, I will bless you. Is there anybody here who has not at one point or another made that great decision to begin serving God in his way, who has not seen from that point on, the Lord blesses us? It's time. Final verse I want to leave you with is this. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1. As God's fellow workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For he says, in the time of my favor I heard you, and in the day of salvation I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. The only question is, will you accept that? And will today be the day of salvation for you and the day of his favor? The invitation's open. If you have a need to respond, won't you come while we stand and sing?